Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
You all are just so beautiful. Isn't it good to get out of your house? Like, so good. It's so good to be in the presence of God. I know church is different right now, but God is not different. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is moving on this earth. And, you know, we prayed on Sunday night, and I had a word from the Lord while we were on vacation that even though the world is falling apart, that God is right in the middle of it, and he's working all things out. And he knows what he's doing, and he's going to use these things for his good. And so when we turn the news on, I don't know about you, but it seems like every day I turn that news on and I'm like overwhelmed with the evil that is overtaking our world. But then I go and I read in 2 Thessalonians and then just start Revelation and you will be like, oh, well, I guess it's all got to happen, you know, in order for God to come back. And so listen, what a special time that we get to express and see what God is going to do and manifest on this earth. And we are his church and his body on this earth. And so I have a word for you today that I believe is going to be incredibly life-changing for you as a Christian. If you will grab a hold of this word, then your life will have extra in it. Your life will have extended borders, extended boundaries. You will have an outpouring of something supernatural in your life. There will be more, so much more, that your capacity won't be able to handle it. And you will walk your everyday out going, how did that, what? Oh my goodness, I didn't know that life could be this rich in the midst of all this hell. Do you want that today? Do you want that extra? Do you want what God has for you? Do you want what the Holy Spirit has actually created for us to enhance and to take a hold of? And so we've been in the series of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that was just a coincidence. I actually tried to start the series, asked the women's teaching team. We tried starting it in January, and then God wanted us to go through the Psalms, and we did that, and I thought it was beautiful, but then the Holy Spirit said, it's time to bring it back. It's time to bring back the Holy Spirit, because he is going to pour out his Spirit on this earth, which I believe he's already doing, and we are seeing signs of that. And there's a little kickback with my talking, so if you guys could help me with that. And when he pours that out on the earth, I don't know if all the Christians on the earth are going to get what's happening. And I want us, as a church body, and as the people of God, as the daughters of the Most High God, as children of the kingdom of heaven, I want us to recognize and see. And I read through my Bible, and I've been reading in Matthew, and he's talking about how those that have ears to hear will hear. Those that have eyes to see will see. And I don't want you, as the body of Christ, I don't want to. One day I have to go before the Lord, and he will say to me, why didn't you tell them? Why weren't you honest with them? Why didn't you teach them the hard and the good stuff? Why did you shy away from that? No, I want you to know that there are things happening in this world. And if you have eyes to see and you're listening to what the Holy Spirit shows you and what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, then you will have a peace in the midst of the chaos. You will have a revelation when nobody else sees anything. You will have an anointing on you to walk through the fire when no one else, and they're all getting burned up around you. You won't, because there'll be a power of God upon you. What I feel like the church is missing right now is that power, that dunamis, that dynamite power. They're not tapping into what it is that God has given us, what God has anointed us with, what God has filled us up with. And so we, as the body of Christ, I'm here and I'm going to work my best to get Jesus into you, to show you the power that he left us, so that you can walk this out. When you walk out the doors, when you walk out your house doors, when you're teaching your kids, when you're doing the laundry, when you're out doing your job and it's hard, and when you're in the medical field, whatever it is, whatever your job looks like, whatever your days look like, you carry the Holy Spirit with you. You carry that dunamis power with you everywhere you go. And so that is what we're learning. We're going to tap into that today. And I believe God has done some amazing things, so many things. And so I'm going to try and use my computer, so bear with me. The last time I used my computer, the notes scrolled everywhere, and I had to preach just off of memory. So just bear with me. But we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit today gives us gifts. How many of you like getting gifts? You know, I didn't really think I was like a gift person. Dan and I aren't like, we started our marriage out very poor, like very broke. So like every anniversary, Valentine's Day, whatever, we just made it happen. Like us being together, that's good. Like we don't need to buy each other anything. And then as we got older and started to actually have careers and money and stuff, you know, like money, what a concept. And he was like, I'm going to buy you a gift. What do you want? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't have a list of things that I'm like, oh, I want this, because I'm just not that materialistic person. And so as we started going into it, he would actually bring me flowers, and I get mad at him. If he brings me flowers from anywhere but Trader Joe's, I'm mad at him because they die like 3 days later. But Trader Joe's flowers, they live like forever. And so I told him, I go, I love the beautiful gift of you going to the store and bringing me home some flowers from Trader Joe's. And that to me is a beautiful gift. That warms my heart. It doesn't take much for me. Now, some of you are like, oh no, girl, I better get a Louis Vuitton purse because that's what I deserve. And like, good on you, whatever. But that is not my thing. And so that is where we live, Dan and I. But when I get that warm, mushy feeling when he walks in with those flowers, when I get the, every day when I look at those flowers sitting on the table and every day they're opening up more and they're setting out a fragrance and they're letting out what I am reminded of, that my husband loves me. And I believe that the Holy Spirit every day is like that gift, and he's giving us gifts to carry out and walk out in our life so that we know that his love is covering us, so that we know that we're operating something special and supernatural, and that we are set apart and we are anointed, and we're not just like anyone else, but we are actually kingdom-minded. We are kingdom living, and we are in love with the one who made heaven and earth, and the one who made heaven and earth is in love with you. And so I believe he wants to give us these special gifts. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, many times I get this conversation when people come to our church, because there's many different denominations out there. There's many different churches out there. And people will ask me, what denomination are you guys? And I say, well, we're non-denominational. So you are not affiliated with anyone else. Well, no. No, we are non-denominational. And we have many affiliations. We love all churches. We're a part of many bodies of Christ. There's a lot of accountability in our church with other churches and godly men and women of God. But we are not like Baptist, or we are not in those veins. Okay, so does that mean you're Pentecostal? Well, no, I wouldn't say we're Pentecostal. I'd say we're probably charismatic. Now, when you say the word charismatic, people think the craziest stuff. Like, I don't know what they've seen on TV. I don't know what they have been told that people do. You know, the Pentecostal, you know, they roll down the aisles. You hear those things, you know, like they have 10-hour services, things like that. But like the charismatic, those people like raise their hands in church. And I'm just like, well, yeah, we do. And well, if you're charismatic, like you believe that there's healing for today and you can operate in that nowadays. Well, yeah. I totally believe in that. And then, okay, well, and maybe you speak another language called tongues. Absolutely, totally do. So I guess you could call us charismatic. But did you know that the word charismata is in the Greek, and it means grace gifts? So that means God is giving us grace gifts. Woo, I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem being associated with God's grace gifts. I want God's grace gifts on my life. I need God's grace. I need his gifts working on my behalf, because I cannot do it. That is for sure. And so I know that God is moving on us in this church. I know God is moving on us in the Spirit of God, and I know he has things for us. And so if God is giving us gifts, and he's calling us charismatic, if he's calling us these Christians that are blessed and anointed and can work things out, then what do these gifts look like? What does this charismatic look like? I have a definition for you. Charisma, you know, have you ever known someone and you're like, they have good charisma? Like, maybe it's a politician. I really should not have said that right now. But maybe it's, I don't know, a prince or a king. Or maybe it's someone who's just a classy person. You're like, they have good charisma. And you look up to them. Well, charisma and karmata, they are all words that come from, which means that they appeal, that they have a good presence, that they carry themselves well. But the charismatic, my tongue, I haven't preached in a long time. My tongue is getting like fat. My tongue is not keeping up with my brain. Okay, girls. All right. It means that it is an instantaneous help from the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but charisma, I need that. I need an instantaneous help from the Holy Spirit. And that it is in a life of a believer. And when it is exercised, it is a gift that brings edification to others. So you're telling me that my charisma, That charismatic piece of me, that gift grace that God is giving me, is for the benefit of others. Absolutely 100%. Did you know that you are not on this earth just for you? So if you kind of have that selfish, prideful side of you, that is something you're going to have to humble before God. And you're going to have to bring that to the throne room, and God is going to have to humble you in ways that aren't fun. But let me tell you something. When you get to that place, you're going to understand that your purpose here on earth is not to help yourself, but to help others. Now this, I don't want to discredit this. You need to love yourself too. This doesn't turn into, I hate myself, I don't take care of myself, everything that somebody has said to me is true. No, girlfriend, no. You need to love yourself, you need to take care of your temple that God has given you because you only have one and you got to keep it healthy. You need to take care of your mind and your thoughts, you need to take care of your heart because that is what God has called us to do, is to be healthy, walking Christians that people can look at and go, wow, they have charisma. I can listen to what they say because they've got something going right in their life. And I believe that's what God wants the church to look like. And so sometimes many people are, can I just say it, stupid when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. They're stupid. You go, you just call Christians stupid. Absolutely 100%. I did. If you don't know me, my name is Pastor Jess, and I don't throw any punches. Like, I will let you know how it is. I believe that part of the body of Christ is missing out on a whole side of who God is, and that they have not educated themselves and they have not taught themselves what the Holy Spirit operates in and how he operates and what he gives us to do here on this earth. And so we have a whole body of Christ out here right now freaking out and losing their minds because they don't understand what's living on the inside of them and the power that they actually have over the power of the enemy. And we are seeing the church fall away. There's a great falling away of the body of Christ right now. And it's because we do not have an understanding. We are ignorant to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And I don't want you to be the ignorant girl. Do you want to be an ignorant girl? No, let's learn today then what the Holy Spirit wants to pour into us. Some of you, this will be a review. Some of this will be the first time you've ever heard this, and you're going to just have this aha moment of what God did for you and what he's doing for you right now on this earth all those years ago. And so let's go with me to 1 Corinthians. This is a Bible study, so turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. I am going to use the New Living Translation. All right, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities that the Spirit gives us, I do not want you to misunderstand this. I'm going to stop right there. Let me give you, let me go into the next verse. You know that when you were still pagans, what is a pagan? A sinner, someone who's not serving God, someone who's doing their own thing, someone who has their thought process and not God's thought process, okay? You were led astray. You were swept along in worshiping speechless idols. You're going, okay, well, I understand back in the day they worshiped idols, but I believe we today worship idols. It could be the idol of your job. It could be the idol of your families over God. It could be the idol of sports. It could be the idol of whatever you put in the place of God that comes before the Lord. That's an idol in your life. Some of you were like, dang, she doesn't pull any punches. No, I'm not. So check yourself. Here we go. So I want you to know that no one, by speaking, the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. Why would he even need to say this to a bunch of Christians? Here's Paul talking to the Corinth church. Let me give you the background of where they're coming from. The Corinth city was a very bustling city. It was moving. It was going. There were the Greeks. There were the Romans. There were like all these inlets of sea. And so they would come with their boats and their trades and everything else. And in the city, they would line the city with all their different gods. In fact, the two major gods that were worshipped in Corinth were the god of money and the god of sex. And in one of their temples, there was 1,000 ritual prostitutes that every day men could come in and ritually have sex with. Does that sound very godly? No, this is a pagan culture. It sounds a little bit like the world we're living in now when you hear about Epstein and everything else going on, right? And so here is this nasty world. And Paul is talking to these people trying to make, you know, clarity out of all of this confusion that they're living in. And so he says in the beginning of this, don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. Because he's grabbing their attention. So church, today, don't misunderstand what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. Because what he did then, he's doing now. He's still at work on the earth. And he's letting them know that you will know if they're Christians because they will say that Jesus is Lord, and there's no one else that can say that unless they've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. They will not be able to say it. They will not be able to live it. They will not be able to move in those directions unless they are filled and they are working and they are saved by God. So 2 Corinthians 2:12-4. Let's go there. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. So now that we understand what, now God says, now I'm going to give you some things so you can live this out. The Holy Spirit is saying, I'm not going to leave you on this earth without some supernatural power. Here we go. I'm going to gift you some things. You ready? There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Okay? Here we go. Verse 5. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. So one God, right? Here we go. Verse 6. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. There it is again. It's not about us. It's about helping each other. What does Jesus say? He says the greatest of these is to love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. God is never about just us, but it's about loving those around us. Here we go, verse 8. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability for wise advice. Ooh, I like that one. To the same, Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. To the same Spirit gives great faith to another. That's the gift of faith. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. What? You're telling me that God heals on this earth right now? Absolutely, 100%. God is the healer and he is the restorer. Verse 10, he gives one person the power to perform miracles. You go, that's not happening nowadays. Oh, absolutely it's happening. I'm hearing a blind eyes open. I'm hearing of tumors falling off of people. I'm hearing that there is a power, a miracle working God out there. And those that believe that he can work through them, he will use them. Because he's just looking around for those that are willing to be used by him and willing to operate the gifts that he pours out upon them. Yeah, there are miracles. And to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak to in unknown languages, talking about speaking in tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. I love that. Here we go, verse 11. Sorry, there's a lot of verses, but let's learn, okay? It is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. Now, I think when we read this, sometimes we go, okay, well, he's distributing gifts, and then they keep that gift forever. Did you know that that's not how it works? That he actually distributes gifts as he wills. That's what it says. That means whatever your need is in that moment, God's going to give you a gift to operate in one of these. And I loved that. That was such freedom. I was like, oh, okay, so I don't just get the gift of prophecy, but I can have the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. I can actually discern the Spirit when I need to. That means I am operating in the Spirit on a daily basis, every single day, trusting that God is going to give me what I need for that very moment. That is a peaceful rest, isn't it? Knowing that you are in operation every moment with the kingdom of heaven, that heaven itself is operating through you and in you, and that you are the power that is being released into the world right now. God needs you, and he's ready to pour out some gifts upon you. And I believe that there's a power that we haven't even tapped into yet because we've been ignorant, church, or we've said these things have left with the last apostle, and that is not true teaching. That is false doctrine. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is working on this earth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this up into three different categories because there's nine gifts. Nine gifts. I don't know about you, but I love having nine gifts. That's better than one gift, right? And so we're going to break it up into three different categories, and I'm going to hit one category today, and next week I'll do two more categories for you, okay? So we'll hit the, if you're writing them down, the three different categories will be the discerning of gifts, the declarative gifts, and the dynamic gifts, okay? Now, remember, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit gives as he wills. So we're going to talk about three gifts today and that he is operating in these and through us. Number one, the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. How many of you have heard of this gift, word of knowledge? Awesome. Okay, some of you have never heard of this before. It's called the word of knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit allows you to know something specific that you didn't learn by natural means. That means it wasn't like it was an obvious thing. You just did not know. But the Holy Spirit drops something in your spirit and you have a word of knowledge. You just know something and it comes from the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural transformation of information. You cannot possibly know unless in a natural process unless the Holy Spirit drops it into your spirit, man. So it's you linking up with the Holy Spirit and him revealing some revelation, transformation, knowledge so that you then can what? Benefit someone else. Remember, this is not for us, it's for others. But it does edify you as you give it. I'm telling you right now, you'll feel like, oh, that's awesome. I just feel the blessing of God. So Jesus operated in the word of knowledge all the time. You know, people tried to trick him while he was on this earth all the time. They would use his own scripture. And my favorite was when Satan is meeting up with Jesus in the desert. And he's like, if you say this, then this will happen. And it's like, and he just responds with the word of God. You know, he always had the right thing to say at the right time. And when people didn't know what to do, remember when they were going to stone that lady and they were all coming after her and he drew a line in the sand and he said, those without sin, cast the first stone, and they all dropped their stones and walked away. He had a word of knowledge. He knew what to say to stop them in their tracks. He knew where to go. He knew what to say. Sometimes you will find yourselves in situations where you will feel like you're under attack. You will feel like you don't know what to say. You will feel somebody's telling you a horrible story, and you're going, they want me to respond after this, and I don't know how to say anything. Well, guess what? You just tap into the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, just speak through me. Just say what you need to say to them right now because I do not have the answers. But guess who does? His name is Jesus. And he loves you and he's not going to leave you alone in this. He's going to speak through you and he's going to reveal these things to you. I want to use an example in the Bible, okay? We're going to go to the Bible and see an example of this. Here's Jesus and he's going with his disciples and he takes a side path to Samaria. Now that was like a no-no. You don't go to Samaria. That was like, ugh, dirty. They're dirty people. And Jesus is like, we're going to Samaria. And he goes to the well, and he meets a woman at the well. Now, she was a prostitute. He did not know this. And so he begins a conversation with her. And I believe he went just for her because that's just like our God, that he goes after the one, and he leaves the 99 for the one. John 4, 17 through 18. It says, he's talking to her, and she says this to Jesus. I don't have a husband. The woman replied, Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. And it was like, can you imagine if that was you? Like someone read your mail like that, and you're going, I don't know what to do right now. I always put myself in her shoes, like, embarrassing. Yep, totally embarrassing. But here was Jesus after that. He began to minister to her. He began to tell her of his goodness and how he wanted to heal her. You know, he grabbed her attention by reading her mail. The Holy Spirit will grab your attention. The Holy Spirit will be in your face. The Holy Spirit will not be politically correct, everyone, okay? The Holy Spirit's going to say it like it is. He's going to tell you like it is. But then he's going to bring you back in, and he's going to heal you and strengthen you into a better person than you were before. And he told her at the very end of this story, go out and tell everyone what has happened to you about the good news of the gospel. You see, she became a follower of Christ because he had a word of knowledge for her. He knew what she needed at that moment, and that was for her. Jesus didn't read her mail to embarrass her, but he did it to reveal and to heal her. See, God's purpose when we are being used by him in our word of knowledge is to not hurt someone. Now, if somebody begins a word of knowledge and it's judgmental and it's critical, they are not operating in the spirit and they are not operating with a word of knowledge, okay? So just right there, if you are like, oh, that was judgmental and critical, just know they call it God, but it's not God because God doesn't do that. God is loving, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is kind. And so God knew all of her business, but he knew that he was on a mission to heal her. Let that be an example for us, that when you're in conversation with other people, maybe you're on the phone with somebody, maybe you're in the grocery store and the teller is telling you something, and the Holy Spirit says to you, tell her that I love her. Tell her this, tell her that. And I read in one of these books that this man was sitting at a table, and actually, we're reading from the book. I wish I would have brought it. The More I Know God, I think is what it's called, by Robert Morse. The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris. And Robert Morris was telling this story about how he got this word of knowledge. He was in a cafeteria with his wife. And there was this really buff guy and his wife. And they had gotten their food tray and they went and sat down at the table. And the Lord told him something. And he was kind of like, I don't want to go over there. I'm not going to go interrupt this guy's day. And those are very uncomfortable moments. They've happened to me before. And you're like fighting with God the whole time. And he said he has learned over the years just obey God. So he went and he said, hey, how are you? And so he broke the ice and he's like, so do you work out? And the guy's like, yeah. And he ended up being Mr. America in his life. And he ended up being this really buff guy. And he said, well, you know, I have a message from heaven for you. And I just didn't know if you don't want it, that's fine. But I feel like I have to deliver it to you. And he goes, the guy said he had a weird look on his face. He was uncomfortable a little bit, but he said, sure, go ahead and sit down. And so they sat down together, and Robert began to tell him, I saw this little boy, and it was you, and you were sitting on your grandma's lap, and you promised her that if God made you buff, if he made you strong, that you would serve him all the days of your life. And God told me to tell you, he's done his part, but you haven't done your part. And the man started crying right there in the middle of this cafeteria. He said, I was just telling my wife that when I was a little boy, I was getting bullied and beat up. And I remember one day I came home and my grandma was raising me. My dad had left. My mom had left. My grandma put me on her lap and my grandma said, let me tell you a story about a man named Samson. And she began to tell the story of Samson. And the little boy said, well, grandma, if I serve God, if he makes me strong, then I will serve him the rest of my life. And he had told his wife that story. And the Lord just days later sent Robert to give him a word that you've got to do your part. That man ended up getting saved right there on the scene. He led him to the Lord. They got connected into a church, and they're still serving God to this day. That is a word of knowledge. You see, God is working. He's moving. He's doing things on this earth. Are you willing to allow him to use you? I thought this was pretty amazing. And Jesus didn't read this and think like, I've always thought this about this story. Well, of course he knew. Right? Of course Jesus knew about her because he's God. You know, God knows everything. But did you know that when Jesus came to this earth, that he abandoned his Godhead? He actually came under submission to what the earth does. And you go, wait, you're telling me he's not God? No, I'm telling you that he's operating in humanity and he is sacrificing his Godhead so that he can experience what we did. And he can walk this out as we have. You go, show it to me in the Bible. All right. Let's go to Philippians 2:7. It says, instead, he, talking about Jesus, gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Jesus did not perform miracles, guys, until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Isn't that crazy, right? So he's showing us that we need the Holy Spirit in order to operate the gifts. Jesus himself, who could have just done this himself, before the Holy Spirit came, he could have just walked this out, but he didn't. He allowed the Holy Spirit to operate in his calling and in his way, and then he carried out the gifts, and the first miracle was the water into wine. Do you remember that at the wedding feast? Here's Jesus himself walking this out for us, showing us that we need to partner with him, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and that we will have a word of knowledge, and that these miracles and signs and wonders can be performed when we ask the Holy Spirit to begin to operate in our lives, and we don't stay ignorant, but we stay full of power and full of God's love. Jesus did it, and so we can too here on this earth. I love that. Number two, you ready for the second one? Second gift. Some of you are going to go, oh, no, I don't like this one. Discerning of spirits. Some people see things. You go, oh, yeah, they're crazy. They're on drugs. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. And absolutely. When you're on alcohol, it's called spirits for a reason, guys. You are opening yourself up to a new world, and you will see the spiritual world. When you are doing drugs or alcohol, it's pharmakeia. It's pharmaceuticals. That means that you are going into a different realm, a different dimension. You will see demonic things. And so if you're wondering why you're seeing those things, what doors are you opening in your homes? What things are you opening in your lives? You're watching scary movies. You're wondering why you feel like your house is haunted. Well, possibly it is. Because you have opened doors for the demonic realm to come in, and you've widely opened them and welcomed them into your homes. You're going, oh, man, why did she have to talk about this stuff? I was good. Discerning of spirits. This is found in verses 8 through 11, 8 through 11, it says, the one person of the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, and to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to another, where is it, and someone else, the gifts of healing, and to perform miracles and signs and wonders, and the Spirit of God from, and then it says, in a message from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Listen, how many times have you walked into a room and you could just feel something's not right? I don't know about you, but I totally have that. And you walk in, and this is what I ask the Holy Spirit every time I do. What am I dealing with? What is this? This is something's not right. And he'll tell me. I'll hear him say, oh, that's a spirit of fear. Oh, that's a spirit. One time I was talking to somebody and they just kept repeating everything I had to say and they were wasting my time. And I was like, what is that? And the Spirit said, just command that spirit of mimic to be quiet. And I was like, spirit of mimic, you shut up right now in Jesus' name. And it just stopped talking. Stop mimicking me. You see, we're dealing with demonic forces. Turn on the news. You see them alive and well. They're ransacking the world right now. They're tearing humanity apart. When they're talking about the coronavirus, that it needs a living person in order to continue to strengthen itself. So it was killing off its host, and now this new strain is not as strong, and it's not as deadly. What? When you start hearing things like that, you're like, that is obviously demonic. Like, that is so demonic. Spirit of infirmity, spirit of sickness. So when we as a church go, oh, I understand now that these are demonic things that I'm dealing with, you can then have a revelation of that with the Holy Spirit. There might be times that you enjoy the presence of goodness and peace, and there's a spirit of joy, and there's a spirit of just love, and you can feel it looming over you. Or there's times when you know that you are in the presence of something demonic. Let's look this up in the Bible. Let's look at an example of this. And here was Paul, and he was going into the streets, and he was preaching, and he was preaching the good news, and there was this girl who kept following him around. We'll pick it up in Acts 16:16-18. It says, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for this master of telling fortunes. Verse 17, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. She just kept saying it over and over again. That doesn't seem wrong, right? But verse 18 says, then they went day after day until Paul got exasperated, that he turned and he said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And instantly it left her. I've asked this question and I've thought about this story many times, and I go, but she was saying the right things. How did he know this was a demonic spirit? Number one, it wasted his time. It brought chaos and confusion, and it interrupted the teachings of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never interrupt himself when he's talking. So when the minister of God is up here, you'll see this happening at our church, and they're giving the gospel, and someone stands up in the church and begins to prophesy or say something else. No, that is ungodly, and it is out of order. And let me tell you why. Because they are not operating in the Spirit of God at that moment. They are operating in a demonic power, because Holy Spirit will not. God has given the authority to the minister to preach and to give that gospel. He's speaking through the minister of God. And that person is there to interrupt and bring disruption. And so Paul recognized this, and he casted the demon right out of her. And from that moment, she stopped. So many times, you're going to have to take authority over some spirits in your life. There was a time in our life when we were really being tormented. Our youngest daughter was being tormented by demons, and I was being tormented, and I just began to go into prayer. And it took a couple of weeks, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? I don't understand what's happening here. And the Lord revealed to me, this is a spirit of fear, and you've dealt with this since you were a little girl. And now it has jumped on your daughter, and you need to take control of this. You have me on the inside of you, and you need to begin to walk this out. So I went in my dark hallway one night, and I could feel it. I felt like it was like right here. Now, I asked the Lord, I don't want to see it, God, so just let me know, okay, because I don't want to see it. And he has been gracious to me in that way. I have seen angels, but I do not want to see everything. And so I could feel it. I knew it was there. and just a boldness, a Holy Spirit boldness came up on the inside of me. And I said, spirit of fear, I command you right now, go back to hell where you came from in Jesus' name. You will no longer torment this house and you are not welcome here. It was gone. I didn't have to spit. I didn't have to scream. I didn't have to go crazy like you see on TV and The Exorcist and all those things. No, it was not. I just took my authority. I told it what to do. I commanded it to flee in Jesus' name. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's what the Bible says. And when that spirit has tried to come back, because believe me, it will always try and come back. The saddest part of it was a familiar spirit to me because I lived with it for so long. And sometimes when things are familiar to us, we're comfortable with them. We've learned to adapt our lives to fit around it when it's unhealthy for us. And God is saying, I need you to get out from the familiar and the comfortable places. I'm calling you into new wineskin like we preached today. I'm calling you to take new ground, and you can't do that in your comfortable positions and in your familiar places. And when the Spirit of God began to speak that to me, he said, this can't stay familiar for you and for Chloe and for your other children that are coming. And so I broke that off. When it comes now, I can feel it right away. I recognize it because it is familiar, and I just command it to go. It has no place in our home. And I've taught my daughter how to fight those things off so she fights it for herself. And I'm telling you, you have the power within you to discern what it is you're coming up against. What is attacking your business? What is attacking your marriages? What's attacking your finances? You could say, oh, the government, Newsom, all these things. But really, what is behind all of it? It's Satan himself. Satan is working things out right now to take down our society, to break apart humanity. This is the plan. And girls, we have the victory. We have the Holy One living on the inside of us, that it doesn't get to cross our territory. It doesn't get to come across on our border and on our land. That this is holy ground, that this is anointed ground, that I am a daughter of the King, and I will discern that spirit. I will command it to go in the name of Jesus. And you take your place and you take your authority and then stop worrying about it. Leave it at the feet of Jesus and move on with your day, because the joy of the Lord is yours through various trials. You've got this, and you need to have this in your time and in your season. So the Lord may reveal these things to you. Don't be afraid of them. Just trust the Holy Spirit and begin to take your authority. Apply this to your life. The third one. You getting something from God today? Third one, word of wisdom. Now listen, that can sound a lot like word of knowledge, right? I mean, we could get that very confused. Well, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, aren't they similar? Actually, they're not, and they have two different purposes. So word of wisdom, the word of wisdom is a divine answer or a solution to a particular question or a challenge. Have you ever gone to God with a question and challenge? And God is going to give you a divine wisdom about that. This comes as knowing what is the right thing to say and do in a situation. Jesus operated in this many times in his life as well. I love this, that he, one of the coolest examples is when Jesus, I'm going to give you the pre-story and then we'll read the answer to it, when he healed the blind man on Sabbath. Oh, God forbid you heal or do anything on Sabbath. The Pharisees were upset about it. So they asked the blind man, as he was telling them about his, you know, think about this, blind man was blind from birth. They've only known him to be blind. So he walks in and he now can see. He's like a new person. I'm thinking to myself, not only did God have to probably heal him of his blindness, but what other senses did he not develop from not being able to see things? And he was healed from those things as well. I mean, God just knows how to take care of us, doesn't he? I think about the lame man, how God just had to heal him completely to be able to know how to walk. He just get up and walk. Okay, I don't even know how to walk. I've never been taught. You see, God goes the extra mile for us. And here's this kid, here's this blind kid. He's not a kid, he's actually an adult, but he was from birth blind. And they get mad at him and he tells them, this man healed me, don't you get it? Da, da, da. So then they say, we're gonna go to your parents. So they go to his parents and his parents are like, he's an adult, why don't you go back and ask him? I mean, come on, what are you doing? So then they go back to him the second time and this is his response to them. John 9:24-33, and it says, so for the second time they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we knew this man, Jesus, is a sinner. Verse 25, I don't know whether he is a sinner, the man replied, the blind man, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. Verse 26, but what did he do, they asked. How did he heal you? Verse 27, look, the man explained, I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Because they're unbelievers, because they're doubting God. right? And it says, do you want to become his disciples too? I love that. It's a little, you know, a little like, little jab there. Oh, you, I'm going to give you the benefit that you want to be his disciple too? Verse 28. Then they cursed him and they said, you are his disciple because we are the disciples of Moses. Remember, we talked about this on Sunday night. Well, I'm of a Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of this. No, no, no. We're of Jesus. And this man caught it. Verse 29, he says, we know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. So they're questioning Jesus. Verse 30, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Hold on a second. This blind boy from earth, just right there, knew the whole gamut on how God works right there in one sentence. One sentence. That he doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. What? He has a revelation. He had a word of knowledge for these guys. He had a word of wisdom for these guys. He was operating in the spirit at this point. He didn't even know it, right? Here we go, verse 31. We know that he doesn't listen to, verse 32, ever since the world began, no one has ever been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. Verse 33, if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. He just schooled a whole panel of professional debaters because he had a word of wisdom for them. I don't know about you, but you may not be smart enough. You may not have the degrees. You may not feel like you fit in. You're from San Bernardino, and you just don't. Everybody's told you that you're not enough. It's just not enough. And I'm here to tell you, you're more than enough. When you've got Jesus living on the inside of you, and you can get a word of wisdom from heaven, I'm telling you, you can speak to the devil. You can speak to people. You can speak to the smartest and to the one that knows nothing. You can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You have the power of God working in you. And that word of wisdom is a revelation to those that are hurting. Jesus came and he healed and he touched lives and he's working it out today in you and in me. Isn't this good? I need a word of wisdom on my daily basis. I want God to work through me. I want him to work things out in me. In these moments, we have to rely and we have to trust on God. What does that look like? That means a total surrender of who we are to who he is. That we understand that in our flesh and in our thought process, in our hearts, we can make things up. Have you ever just been alone with yourself for a while and you're like, I think that is a hot mess. I think I'm a mess and I need a savior. And even when you are saved, there are things inside of you that you're going, this is just not right. There's just things just not right here. And it's the Holy Spirit going, let me work it out for you. Let me clean this up. Let me give you a word of wisdom for you. He's going to build you up. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to walk out of your time with the Holy Spirit and you're going to build someone else up. I was just on the phone yesterday with somebody, and they were talking to me, and I was just kind of like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what my response should be. And I as a pastor, I constantly feel this way. Guys, I am not smart. You know, I have to read things like 50 times to get it, to understand it. I'm not like, I went to school with Pastor Dan and Pastor Luke and Pastor Joey, and we'd all take the same test, and they were all showing each other like, oh, look at my A+, da-da-da, and then there's mine, and I'm like, we're not going to talk about mine. And it just takes me a lot longer to get things done. But you know what? I know I'm not dumb. Because I've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And I know that when I need it, he's going to give me the words to say. Now, there are many times Pastor Jess says the dumbest things and I hurt people and I screw it up because I am very raw. And when I'm tired, I'm learning about myself. Just shut up and stay away because you're tired. You go say something dumb. And that's probably the Holy Spirit giving me a word of wisdom like, steer clear, lady. You need to go be with me. And so listen to the Holy Spirit. Because he knows what you need for your day. He knows what your children need for that day. He knows who you're going to come across. And you are on mission, women. You're on mission with your kids. You're on mission with your husbands. You're on mission with your neighbors. You're on mission at the store. You're on mission on your job. You are on mission. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wants to begin to use us on this earth. No longer just sit still and idle, but he wants us to get moving and be mobilized because the church of God is living and it is well and it is alive and he wants us to have a revelation of this for all those out there that are blessed. I love that when he gives us these gifts, I wanted to remind us this, that when he gives us these gifts, that he does it for the purpose to edify us. I want you to write this down. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are to edify, to encourage, and to set the captive people free. Isn't that good? That all of these gifts serve that same purpose, to encourage us, to edify us, and to set the captive free. Praise the Lord. Did you get something from the Word of God today? Hallelujah. We just talked about the discerning gifts. That was the grouping of gifts that we talked about today. We talked about word of knowledge. We talked about discerning of spirit. And we talked about the word of wisdom. We'll hit the other six next week. So don't miss out. You don't want to miss them. I want you to be able to operate in them. Ask the Holy Spirit to use you this week in them. And ask him to drop them on you. And just watch him just come through. And you're going to be surprised. Like, I did not know that I could be in such a partnership with God. What a beautiful thing that he gives us.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.